You have a portion of scripture in your bulletin. I want to add to that just a little bit. If you'd turn with me to John 11, 25 and 26, hope to remember to read this at the end of the service as well. I want to be talking about Jesus and as we prepare ourselves for the Easter season, the Easter time, which is really year-round, but we're going to celebrate especially coming up here in a few weeks. So let us consider the Messiah and look at these words from John 11. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Kind of in a good Quaker fashion, asking a query at the end of a scripture. So I'm going to accentuate the query with that which is in the discipline concerning Christ. Do you believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the eternal Word who was with God and was God, that was made flesh and dwelt among men, being in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, that he became obedient unto death and is the propitiation for sins of the whole world, that he rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, making intercession for us, and that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through him. Yeah, that was a nice reminder after a message, whenever that was, talking about the Word, that Anne kind of said, well, you know, the Word hid in my heart, that's Christ. Well, that was the emphasis here in that query there, remembering him as the eternal Word. So now we can go to Philippians chapter 2, and those of you that might say, well, weren't we in chapter 2 before? Well, yeah, we did the first portion of it, and now I think we move on a little bit in considering Christ, because Philippians 2, starting with verse 5, says, "Your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I'm going to make this a multimedia presentation. And thanks to the perseverance of many, I don't know, but somebody found us a dry erase marker, so we'll see how that works. I'll just point, yeah. Not too much power, I'll knock it off. We need to consider Christ and what we believe and the considerations of the Messiah, because Easter is very pivotal for us. How do we believe in that? What do we believe in that? Because that will enhance our faith to move forward and share, proclaim, as your mission statement says, proclaim the truth in God's Word. So there are many ways that the people have looked at Christ over the ages. And one of the unique ones that I came up against and try to write big enough, but also say it. How many of you heard of the bet? Blaise Pascal had the bet, you know, to whether God exists or not, whether Jesus is Lord. You can fill in the blank there. And his bet was, okay, we'll just say Jesus is Lord. Now, if you bet Jesus isn't Lord, and go this way, you say, no, he doesn't exist. He was just a nice guy, walked around. And you find out that he was Lord, or he is. End result, bad result. Now, if you were to bet that he isn't Lord, he didn't, you know, really do much but walk around, say nice things, and that's true, about all that happens is you won the bet. But you can't tell anybody about it because there is nothing afterwards, right? That would, some would say, is kind of the atheistic side. And it's kind of unique, isn't it, that during this Lenten season, we have the atheist national holiday. April Fool's Day is coming up. Now, if you bet Jesus is Lord, I mean, if you just bet on it, relied on it, Jesus is Lord, and he wasn't, what have you lost? Really, you've lost a time of loving one another, being helpful, serving, being compassionate. You call that losing? But you bet he is, and he is Lord. Eternal reward, heaven. Okay? That's betting. Being good Quakers, we don't bet. But I just thought it'd be nice to see how the rest of the world does things. I heard that with the present tax proposal or whatever, that they're going to try to jack up the taxes against casinos and stuff in Iowa. Any of you, rest of you, hear this? Okay, yeah. That because of that projection, there might be four that go out of business. I say raise it some more and see what happens. Okay, so that's the bet. Josh McDowell was a very influential thinker and still is around, but I spent some time looking at his materials when I was in college particularly. And he came up with kind of culminating all the things he learned throughout his life, that with Jesus, he is either a Lord, a liar, or he's a lunatic. Okay? Because Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Now, if he claimed to be and he lied about it, what a fool. Because he died for the lie. If he claimed it and he didn't know any different, he's just a lunatic. He's just out there saying all this stuff, crazy stuff like love one another. Serve God. Be brothers and sisters to one another. Crazy stuff. But he died for it. But if Jesus is Lord, he is the Messiah. He is the propitiation of our sins. He is the only way that we have. So, things to consider when we're getting toward Easter. Another thing that spoke to me out of Josh McDowell's stuff was the uniqueness, the power, the magnitude of Christ. Because in Scripture, there are over 60 prophecies concerning the Messiah. Over 60. Jesus fulfilled them all. But, you know, he tried to, with the help of a guy named Peter Stoner, tried to get it down to maybe where I could understand it. Hopefully you can understand it as well. With what it takes to fulfill all those prophecies, to be the Messiah, to really grab a hold of, we're not just dealing with a name, Jesus. We're dealing with the Son of God who came to earth to live and die and rise again for us. I don't always grasp that in my daily walk. I don't know about you, but hopefully some of this will help get in our heads again just who Jesus is. So, if you were to take eight of the prophecies about the Messiah, and we'll just use the ones that they had in the book, that he was born in Bethlehem, he was preceded by a messenger, entered Jerusalem on a donkey, betrayed by a friend, sold for 30 pieces of silver, and that money was to be thrown in the temple. He was silent before his accusers, and his hands and feet were pierced. Take those eight, okay? And you deal in probability. So again, just because you dabble in mathematics doesn't make you a mathematician, right, Rick? I'm just going to give you some thoughts on probability. And you know, like if you flip a coin, what's your probability? 1 out of 2 that should come up what you want. Well, the probability of a human being satisfying those 8 prophecies alone is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So, it's kind of a unique number. So, there you have it. 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Okay? Yeah, so what? What's that mean? What's that number mean? Well, the guy in the book, this Peter Stoner, tried to come up with it and maybe put it in terms that we could somewhat grasp. He said, that's a really large number. Huge. How big is that? Okay. He said, if you take a silver dollar, and you take 10 to the 17 power, that number of silver dollars, and you put them in Texas, if you can grasp Texas, it'd be 2 feet deep. 2 feet. Across the whole state. Covered Texas, 2 feet deep. And you take one of them, and you put a mark on it, and you fly over Texas, and you pitch it, and then you stir it up a little bit, and you set somebody on the edge of Texas and say, go find it. That's the probability. But that's only 8. That's only 8. They also figured it out for 48. The probability of a person being able to satisfy 48. Brianne, could you hold that? This is the number. You know? Here, yeah. All right. Got to hang that together. Oh, there's more. Lydia, maybe you better come around here. It's not pink, so she's okay. Her ponytail. All right. Karen, can you hold that up? Okay, for a person to satisfy 48 of the prophecies. It is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. Okay? We're just going to lay that right down. Oh, you might have to step over it, I guess. You hurdle too? Okay. That's good. All right. To grasp this, and you, if you're like me, you probably still won't be able to quite grasp it. So that's a really large number. It represents an extremely small chance to visualize it. Silver dollar, way too big. Got to pick a smaller object. The electron is a small object. It is so small that it will take 2.5 times 10 to the 15th of them laid side by side to make a line, single file, 1 inch long. If we were going to count the electrons in this line, 1 inch long, and counted 250 each minute, and if we counted each day and night, it would take us 19 million years to count just the 1 inch line of electrons. If we had a cubic inch of these electrons and we tried to count them, it would take us, counting steadily, 250 each minute, 19 million times 19 million times 19 million years, or 6.9 times 10 to the 21st power years. Well, you know, and we just kind of throw Jesus' name like, oh, yeah, it was just Jesus, just, you know, so just a guy that fulfilled all of this and stood firm. And was tempted like you and me, and was obedient unto death. And what are we doing about it each day? Or more specifically, as we approach the day of Easter, are we thinking about that? Or are we just thinking about, well, let's see, we'll have a Good Friday service, and then we'll do this, and then we'll get up early on Easter, and we'll have a great breakfast, and we'll do this, and there goes Easter. Well, how about that? Wasn't that nice? And we forget of the person of Jesus Christ and all he was and all he did, and that at the name of Jesus, someday every knee is going to bow. There's no betting. There's no labeling. There's just naming Christ as Lord. More than 1,900 years ago, there's a man. This man was born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his exile in childhood. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous and had neither training nor formal education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows as if pavements, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his service. He never wrote a book. Yet all the libraries of the country could not hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun. And yet no leader ever had more volunteers who have, under his orders, made more rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot fired. He never practiced medicine. And yet he has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Every seventh day, the wheels of commerce cease their turning and multitudes wend their way to worshiping assemblies to pay homage and respect to him. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of the past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man abounds more and more. Though time has spread 1,900 years, 2,000 years, between the people of this generation and the scene of his crucifixion, yet he still lives. Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, feared by devils, as the living, personal Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the eternal Word who was with God and was God, that was made flesh and dwelt among men, being in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, that he became obedient unto death and is the propitiation for sins of the whole world, that he arose from the dead and ascended to the Father, making intercession for us, and that he is able to save us to the uttermost, all that come unto God through him." I'm not sure what other proof I have to offer, at least today, other than we serve a risen Savior. And if at this point in your life you're not in the relationship with him, today is the day. Meet Jesus. Seek him, because he is to be found. His arms are open. He will embrace you, grant forgiveness to those who ask. But he is unique. He is our Lord. Let us serve him as such, now, in Easter, and the days beyond. Amen.